It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Today we are going to study Book of Matthew, chapter 20. Last week we learned in the closing of the chapter, Jesus Christ says, the first will be the last and the last will be the first. It might happen to many. So let's go and read the chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, starting from verse 1.
For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee.
Jesus Christ gave this parable to tell his disciples that whoever serves the Lord from the beginning, or if somebody comes later on to serve the Lord, God is going to look at to each and everyone same way. Each and everyone will have the same benefits because God is not a respecter of person. He loves everyone and he calls everyone and he gives each and everyone chance to serve him. Now in this vineyard example he gave, the people were hired for first hour, the third hour, the sixth hour, then 9th hour and 11th hours. Now 11th hours, the person who was called to work, he is not going to be lazy and not going to waste his time because the time is running out for him, only 1 hour remaining. And so the first hour, the person who was called, he might be taking it easy, doing it in his own time, and not doing like the last hour person was called. Some companies have quota system. Within a day, within 8 hours or 12 hours, certain items you do. And then they will give them the salary. And so just think that somebody was called in the last hour. How hard he will work to make that quota or make that item to please his master that he worked hard. And so, even the last hour somebody called, that person will be working hard. Now, we are living in these last days, and God has called us to serve him. So, we should be serving him just like somebody's hired for the last hours. So, the people should be working hard that whatever the master has for them, they will receive. That the last hour's person worked, he didn't know what was master was giving. But the first hour the person was hired, he was told that you will get a penny. Now, penny sounds very cheap in today's wages. But in those days, their penny was for the whole day's salary. And with that whole day's salary, they can buy many items with a penny. But the point I'm making, the master did not do any harm to the first hour worker. And when he start giving them their salary, starting from the last person and giving to the first. So the first person might be thinking, if that last hour person got a 1 penny, I might be getting a 11 penny or 12 penny or 10 penny. But when he got 1 penny, he was disappointed. So the master asked him a question. Sir, didn't you agree for 1 penny for the whole day? So I gave you your 1 penny. Why are you jealous? Why are you murmuring if I'm giving the same penny to the person who worked for the last hour? I am generous. I am good. And why are you jealous about these things? So what the master is saying to him, I did not do anything wrong to you. You got your full day's wages. And so you take your money and go thy way. What he's trying to say, if you are not happy what you're doing, then you could go. Nobody's forcing you to work in my vineyard for next day. There are some ministers are working for the Lord, and some of them are on salary. And some people, just like a worldly people, they fight for their salary and pay raise the same way some ministers they do. And sometimes if they don't get the pay and salary, they give up that job and go somewhere else. I saw some man who was working for Pentecostal church for 9 years. He went to Pentecostal college and studied the word of God and worked for them for 9 years. And when he didn't get the best salary, he gave up his job and started working for Presbyterian church. Now somebody will say, what's wrong with that if he works for the Presbyterian church? But if you know the doctrine, the Presbyterian doctrine and Pentecostal doctrine is not the same. Now somebody will say, then what's wrong with the Presbyterian doctrine? The Presbyterian doctrine is they baptize children, babies. Pentecostal people, they don't baptize babies. Then somebody will say, what's wrong with that? You have to study the Word of God. My subject is not today about the water baptism. The Word of God is saying, whoever takes the baptism, they have to believe in Jesus Christ. They have to confess their sins and they have to turn from their sins and follow Christ. And they should be followers of Christ. Babies do not do that. Jesus Christ says, let the children come to me, because the kingdom of God is belong to them. Jesus never baptized baby. He just blessed them. And the disciples never baptized baby. They blessed them. So the point I'm making, this man gave up his Pentecostal church job and got a job in Presbyterian church. And he was happy. Nobody told him he is doing wrong. He had 5 servants. Big bungalow, 2 cars, children are studying in a private English school. And so he was thinking he's doing very well. When he heard about me, he came to my church, but I was on tour. So he left his address, and so I went to see him. When I asked him a question, are you born again? He said, yes. Do you believe in immersion baptism? He said, yes. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit and evidence of speaking in tongue? He said, yes. And he said he does prophesying and he does healing ministry and many things. Then I said, God has given you all of these things. Are you teaching these things in your church? He said, if I start teaching this in my church, they will kick me out. So I said to him, the word of God says, much is given, much is required. So you should be teaching what you know. But he said, these people giving me more money and Pentecostal people give me less money. I said the word of God says, My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is the one who supplies our need. Do not trust any man, do not trust any king. In short, what I was trying to tell him, you should be starting some Pentecostal church. Now, name Pentecostal maybe sounding bad to somebody who is listening, but indirectly, what I was trying to say, teach the right teaching. And I prayed and I cried to God that He should open His eyes and this man should teach the right thing. And I heard within a few days or few months, he resigned and he went and started his church in Ireland with the 25 people. There are some people working in the vineyard, working for the Lord, but they are working for the salary. If the salary is not given to them, they give up their job. Just like this man was fighting with the master of the vineyard. Why don't you give me more money like you gave it to the other person who worked only 1 hour? This man said, I had the agreement with you. You will work for the penny for a whole day and I gave it to you. And so if you don't like this job, you can go. So that's what the word of God is saying. There are so many people are called for the ministry. But there are so many people are not serving the Lord from their heart. Many people come from the different countries to America. The name of Bible school and Bible college. They go for a 1 year or 2 years or 6 months of Bible study and look for some job and get some job, call their families, and they think they're happy and joyful. But when I study those people's life, they struggle, they have no happiness, no joy, and they are frustrated. Why? Because they were lying and they were just coming to America in the name of God or name of Bible study. So this vineyard master said, if you don't like this job, if you don't like my attitude that I'm loving and kind and giving, go away. If you're serving the Lord, serve the Lord just like you have called the last hour. Work hard for Jesus Christ and He will give you the right blessing. Our God is not partial and He wants to bless each and everyone the same way. Why this parable Jesus Christ gave to the disciples? Because He said to the disciples, you will be ruling the 12 tribes of Israel and you will be sitting on the 12th throne. So many denominations, they think there are only 12 apostles and there are only 12 thrones. When the apostles will get their thrones, we will not get any position. That's why Jesus Christ says, first will be the last, and last will be the first. It can happen to many. In the Bible, we see there are people we are called disciples. Their names are given in Matthew chapter 10. They were 12 apostles. Then in the book of Luke, there were 70 more were chosen. But you don't see them 70 people working with Jesus Christ until the end. When Jesus Christ was washing the disciples' feet, there were only 12 and one already betrayed and walked away. So there were only 11 disciples. What happened to those 70 disciples? And many Christians and many pastors and many believers do not know what happened. If you read the St. John chapter 6, when Jesus Christ was saying, you should eat my flesh and drink my blood. And many people, means many disciples, said this is too hard. And they walked away and they never walked with Jesus again. Please read that in St. John chapter 6.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him.
So here it says, many of his disciples walked away, and they never walked with him again. The word of God is saying, many people are called, but few are chosen. Let's go back to our chapter, Matthew chapter 20, and start reading from following.
Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen.
Now here he's saying, many are called, but the few are chosen. Then so many people will be thinking, hey, many people are called before me, and I don't have any position in the kingdom of God. He says, many are called, but few are chosen. You should be thinking, Lord, I want to be in that number. When Jesus Christ said, look at the farm, they are ready to harvest. Pray to the Father that he should send some laborer. When I heard that scripture, I said, Lord, I am praying that you should call some laborers, but call me. And I wanted to serve the Lord because the word of God says the laborers are few. Do you know today many people wanted to be medical doctors, engineers, and many good positions, lawyers and actors and things like that. But very few people want to serve the Lord. But God gave me grace to pray and say, Lord, use me, call me as one of your workers. And so I'm telling you, please pray and ask God that he could call you, you could serve the Lord. And the benefit, Jesus Christ said, whoever came after me, giving his job and everything what he had, he will get hundredfold in this world and eternal life. Plus, that person will get a chance to rule and be king and priest with Jesus Christ. So it's a great blessing to serve the Lord. And so many are called and few are chosen. Ask God, say, Lord, I want to be in that number. Let's read further.
And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again.
Now here Jesus Christ is giving the disciples ahead of time warning what's going to happen to him. He said, let's go to Jerusalem. Now in the Jerusalem, they were going to persecute him. They're going to arrest him. They were going to kill him. And they were going to crucify him. But he was not afraid. He said, let's go there, and these other things are going to happen. They're going to mock me. They're going to scourge me. They are going to beat me. They are going to crucify me. But third day, I will rise again. So Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen to him. But he was not afraid of going to cross. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for the mankind so he can redeem them, forgive their sins, and bring them to the saving knowledge of God and unite them with God. Because the man committed sin and became enemy to God, but the Jesus Christ was going to die for the mankind and unite them in one. And that's the purpose he was telling his disciples. Even they crucified me, I will rise again. Let's read the following verse. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20.
Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father.
The John and James mother comes and asks the Jesus, Could you please grant my sons, one will sit in right hand of you and one will sit left hand of you. And so in your kingdom, they should be very special people. And Jesus said, You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup which I'm going to drink? And can you be baptized with baptism what I'm going to be baptized? And they said, Yes. And Jesus said, Even though you do, I don't have the authority to let you sit on my right hand and my left hand. Now, there are so many people will be thinking, first of all, what kind of cup and what kind of baptism he is going to be baptized with, because he was already baptized. And they heard the voice from heaven, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, the day he took the baptism. And so he's saying, I am going to be baptized. So he was talking about the baptism of suffering and fire. And he was talking about the drinking the cup means dying on the cross. So these disciples start saying, if he can be crucified, we will be willingly give our life for Christ, be martyrs. So we will do it. We will drink that cup. And whatever the fiery trial comes, we will take that kind of baptism also. So Jesus simply said, to giving you the position right and left, it is not in my hand. When Father decides who will be sitting on my right hand and who will be sitting at my left hand. When you read this, and some Jehovah's Witnesses or other people will say, see, Jesus Christ even doesn't know who is going to sit his right hand and left hand. He says only Father knows. And so he is not God. One time somebody asked him a question, when you're going to come back, tell us the day and time. Jesus said, time and date, I don't know. No angels knows. Only Father in heaven knows. So when these two questions somebody asked, why your Jesus doesn't know the answer, so he is not God. Let me tell you why he gave that answer. Jesus Christ came into this world as the Son of God. Jesus has another name, the Word of God. St. John chapter 6 and 7, and there are other chapters, Jesus Christ was saying, I am the Son of God. I came here to fulfill the Word of God, or fulfill the will of God. And the Word of God says, He was the obedient Son, and He died willingly on the cross of Calvary to please his Father. And as I said, when he took the baptism, Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do you know why Father said that? Because Jesus Christ took the baptism, and the baptism was the commandment. Jesus Christ was not a sinner. He didn't have to repent for his sins. John the Baptist was saying, "Repent and be baptized." When Jesus came to him, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And when he was asking John to baptize him, John the Baptist said, "You should be baptizing me. Why are you asking me to baptize you?" What Jesus said, "Let it be because we want to fulfill the righteousness of God." So the obedience means obeying the Father and obeying his commandment. That means you are doing the righteous thing. And so Jesus Christ came into this world to fulfill the desires of his Father, obey his commandment, and show to the world that I am obedient Son. He never said to anybody, "I am greater than my Father. I don't have to listen to my Father." He never said that. But according to the Word of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we have triune one God. Father doesn't say, "I don't have to listen to my Son, and my Son is lower than me." No. In book of Hebrews, Father says to the Son, "O God," or "O Lord." And Jesus said to his Father, "O Father," and "O God." We read in the Word of God, Father talks about his Son, Son glorifies Father, and the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son. Holy Spirit does not disobey Christ, doesn't say anything according to his will, but does everything what Jesus says. Jesus said, "I'm going to send you another Comforter, and the Holy Spirit will come and guide you in all truth. He will not say anything his own, but whatever I said, he will tell you the truth and remind you." And so if somebody says the Holy Spirit told me something which Jesus Christ didn't say, that is not the real Holy Spirit. There are so many people twisting the Bible scriptures and say the Holy Spirit said me so, or Holy Spirit told me different. Holy Spirit cannot say anything different than what Jesus Christ said. Holy Spirit only will glorify the Son of God, and the Son of God glorifies the Father. And they are all united in one. They never fight, they never disagree, they are united in one. And so that's the reason Jesus Christ said, "This is not in my hand to give you the position in my right hand or left hand. It's belonged to Father," because he was on earth. He was still in earthly body, so he has to obey the Father and say everything what Father says.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.